Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. It's always a good thing to keep oneself in check, making sure not to overestimate our abilities and get a little bit too big for our britches, or boots, for our UK listeners. And a useful tool is to have some outside observer to critique, to offer a perspective that we may ourselves be blind to. We can call them by many different names, coach, boss, parent, or friend, but what hat they will ultimately wear is that of a critic. Uncle Will really created a monster with this one. The connotations of that word are extremely polar. There really doesn't seem to be a middle ground. Either the thoughtful and elucidating insights of an observant onlooker or the carping castigations of a fault-finding nitpicker. Either way, William came up with it while he was penning his Love's Labour's Lost, somewhere between 1594 and 1595. The play so far. We are introduced to the overconfident King of Navarre and his three noble companions, Barone, Longueville, and Dumain, who have made a solemn, if wildly impractical, vow to forego the pleasures of the flesh for 3 years in order to focus on scholarly pursuits. Oh, and not just them, by the way. That goes for everyone in the kingdom. Naturally, Uncle Will wastes no time in presenting the chaste chums with the ultimate distraction— the arrival of the Princess of France and her witty entourage, Rosalind, Maria, and Catherine, making the men's lofty ideals about as sturdy as a papier-mâché prophylactic in a downpour. The men's scholarly aspirations begin to unravel as they each fall hopelessly and helplessly in love. Typical of William, we cannot be left without a subplot. A local peasant and servant, Costard, is caught pursuing the woman to which he is actually betrothed to, Jaquenetta, and he is summarily arrested. The Spaniard, Don Armado, the one in charge of punishing Costard for his moral transgression, also just so happens to be in love with Jaquenetta. He writes her a love letter for Costard to deliver. It also just so happens that one of the king's scholarly friends, Barone, has fallen for one of the Princess of France's ladies-in-waiting, Rosalind, and decides to not only pen her a secret love letter, but also to use Costard to secretly deliver it to her. There then ensues some love letter switcheroo shenanigans, and it is at the end of Act 3, Scene 1, where we find Barone musing to himself at the irony of the situation, being the most outspoken and mocking critic of love, finds himself now so deeply besieged by the amorous armada that he likens himself to a soldier forced to fight in Cupid's army.
And I, forsooth, in love. I that have been love's whip, a very beadle to a humorous sigh, a critic, nay, a night watch constable, a domineering pedant o'er the boy, than whom no mortal so magnificent, this wimpled, whining, purblind, wayward boy, this senior junior, giant dwarf, Dan Cupid.
We'll leave it there. He goes on for quite a bit. The roots of critic come from the Greek word kritikos, able to discern, which is a Greek derivation of the word kritis, meaning a person who offers reason, judgment, or analysis, value judgment, interpretation, or observation. Speaking of observations, I think one of my favorite reviews of one of my performances early on in my career was when I was in the brilliant Ionesco play Exit the King. I was, said King, Berenger, and one of my wittier friends remarked that I played the king like I was under the apprehension that at any moment someone was about to play the ace. Altogether now, everyone's a critic. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.